Well, happy Thursday, and that means it's time for Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan, and before we get rolling into the topic du jour, a reminder you're always invited to be part of the proceedings via phone and email. 850-414-1234 is that number. Easy to remember. How did we ever get that number? I'm wondering. Perspectives at WFSU.org is also easy. That is our email address. And we were talking not too terribly long ago about how kind of the pathways to success are starting to change in ways that are reminiscent of maybe the way that some of us of a certain age grew up when you would hit high school especially, and you would have the academic track, and those were the young folks who were going to go on to college and university and all that. And then you had the home economic track, which was for some weird reason predominantly female in nature. And then you had the vocational track. And there was a certain cachet attached to that last one, the vo-tech track, because those were the kids, the young men specifically, who were deemed unsuited for post-secondary education. And they were going to go into the blue-collar workforce. Because and I think blue collar was because there was a certain variety of shirt that you wore if you were on the assembly line or working the steel mill or installing air conditioners or something else, and it was blue chambray, as I recall.
There you go.
Because I had some of those in college, working class hero and all that kind of thing. Hey, we're going to talk about how we are now getting back to a multiple track option when it comes to careers and the future and all that here on Perspectives. And let's run around and meet our panel right now. We'll start with Bill Hampsch, who is the CEO of the North Florida Women's Care, one of the area's largest healthcare employers. And Bill, welcome to Perspectives. Good to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to be here. And just want to throw in that, you know, the blue collar comment, you and I are both fashionably wearing gray collars. So I don't know if we're fashion forward or just we've evolved.
Well, either that or we're halfway between white and blue.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So in other words, we don't know what we're doing, right?
Right.
We're right next door to you. We welcome back Katie Goodman. You were here just a little bit ago, Katie.
I was.
Yes. TCC Career Center Director for internships, job placements, shadowing, and a whole host of other things. And it's great to add your voice back to this conversation, too.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
And, of course, we couldn't do it without Kimberly Moore, Vice President for Workforce Innovation and TCC2 Work. And Kimberly, TCC boy, this is getting to be a regular thing here.
I tell you, I love it.
Well, hey, you guys, though, kind of precipitated this whole thing this past week when you have the Assistant U.S. Commerce Secretary come to Tallahassee, Florida, and drop a $1.25 million grant on TCC for a welding program, right?
Wow. Absolutely. And it's actually the first college and visit that they have made with an award of that type. So we are absolutely humble with the administration's understanding of our commitment to put our community to work. And with welding, looking at that, the growth there, not only for our local area, but state. So we certainly want to be a contributor at all levels.
Now, is this random? Just that you could have picked anything, but it happens to be welding as far as the grant is concerned. But what is the demand for welders in this area?
The demand is huge. As a matter of fact, over the next 10 years, there are 15,000 projected vacancies alone for welding just by itself. It's also a complement of our manufacturing center because anything, when you look at what's produced in the United States that requires some level of manufacturing, two out of three will be welding related that's produced. So it is a huge need. And the great thing of what we're doing with the training is that we're building in certifications, and those certifications will allow that student, that individual to go not only throughout our state, but also throughout the United States, because the certification is portable. So we really are, you know, playing this huge role in making the workforce, which is what community colleges do. Yeah.
Okay. We also get into, though, what is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken here, Bill Hampsch, the 20% of the area's economy related to healthcare in some way, shape, form, or fashion, which puts it in your bailiwick here. What are the job prospects in healthcare, and especially the Women's Center, where you are, have your office situated?
Everything, all the above. It goes everything from physicians on down to our appointment schedulers, nurses, medical assistants. Some of our struggles right now that we're having is for ultrasound technology specialists. Mm-hmm. You know, we needed to expand our ultrasound department, but there's no program here locally, and it's very difficult for us to find any candidates that are interested in working in our own community. The other big one is IT specialists. You know, healthcare is no longer, you know, their database in a manila folder. You know, we live and breathe in technology. And to find those individuals with, you know, any kind of experience in healthcare is very challenging. You know, it's its own language, and it's very unique in the IT world specific to healthcare. So we've been looking for months trying to find someone to fill that vacancy.
And there seem to be a lot of other organizations in town that are also struggling to find that particular niche employee, that there may not be a big welding program, Kim, like you have here at TCC. Katie, what else is out there that people are just screaming for employees and we just don't have an adequate number to fill that need now?
Well, just in the past 6 months, we've seen a huge influx of employers coming to us needing talented employees. The unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in a while. So really, we've had every industry coming to us. Definitely healthcare, definitely IT, but then, of course, more of our short-term training programs. People coming to us for welders, for CNC machinists. Really, it's just covered the whole spectrum of industries out there. There's just a huge, huge influx of these employers coming to us, and they need this talent.
And where are the deficiencies as far as the training is concerned? We're going to have welders pretty well covered here, Kim, but I mean, you got the Gasvini Center that helps with the healthcare, the nurses, that kind of thing at TCC. You also have partnerships with Lively, with other training providers and all that. But what are we missing? What are the parts of the puzzle that we don't have?
So talking about the healthcare piece of it, so it's great. We were able to convene, and thank you to Bill and his leadership along with his colleagues. Not only did we bring to the table Lively, Kaiser, Gadsden Technical Institute, who else are we missing there? Oh, Wakulla, because they have the Medical Academy as well, to have that conversation and hear from employers directly about their workforce needs and how we could plan for that. I will tell you, when you think about the missing piece, is that there has to be, as we move with full employment, stronger connections always with employers and with education, because though the need may be on the horizon, it has to be conveyed with education, I'd say, as soon as you're thinking that, because you have to stand up programs. So it's not as easy as one might think that you say, okay, here's the need, to let me go and just stand up this whatever program. I will tell you, even with, you know, truck driving is a huge need for us. We got funding to do that. It was a common need amongst our community, but we had to wait for legislative funding to do it. It cost nearly $1 million to stand that up. A truck driving program, it cost nearly $1 million to do that, even though there's this great need. So with the other programs, it requires approval through your accrediting body and all of that. So I would say the missing piece, but luckily we are very much engaged with the healthcare side of hearing that and being able to respond to that, that other industries have to do the same and not wait until there's a crisis, but literally consider education as a partner and friend for growing their businesses and even maintaining.
Yeah, well, you mentioned something, though, about truck driving, and I recall something that I read not too terribly long ago with the now development of autonomous driving vehicles.
Yeah.
Well, we hear about Uber and Lyft, that they're moving in that direction, but also the long-haul truck industry is also moving that way. So if we train truck drivers today for jobs that may not be there tomorrow, how do you then change your programs to fit another niche where you may need more workers that aren't going to be idled anytime soon?
Great question. So the great thing about that is that when we plan for our center, it's also aptly named with transportation and logistics. So we would then point to the logistics component because that is the other piece, because there will always involve the human component with that. So, yeah, so the ability to pivot and look at the programs that we're creating and the jobs of the future and making sure that they're within the framework, that there is, I call it portability to move into other areas. Yeah.
Well, it means a different type of skills training.
Yes.
You can't be quite as concentrated on one thing as maybe we could several years ago. I remember what my uncle did. He was a pipe fitter, but in the steel industry. And
yes,
so he could go into a mill and take care of that. But if he had to transition to even another type of manufacturing, he would be lost because he didn't know the layout of the plant and how the stuff flowed through the pipes and all that kind of thing. It was totally different.
It's a 21st century workforce still now. And when you think about that mindset, it really is. And Bill could probably speak to it better than any of us, that you really are operating with the expectation that a person is not just going to be siloed with a single task or single function, that you really do need to understand the big picture of the organization so that you can contribute at multiple levels. And even with the millennials, you know, we got five generations in the workforce. That is their expectation, that it will be a workforce journey so that you are touching a variety of different things and not just the one.
Yes, I've been here for 6 months. It's time to move on.
Don't say that.
Speaking of moving on, we have to move into an upcoming break rapidly here on Perspectives. We're talking about the redefinition of workforce expectations. Maybe, certainly, college and university will always be a major piece, part of preparation for life, as it were. But now we're returning to the kinds of jobs that maybe you can get through a training program at TCC or Lively or any of these other training providers. We'd love to hear from you, too. 850-414-1234 or perspectives@wfsu.org. The email, and we'll be right back. We are back on Perspective. So glad you can be part of the fun at 850-414-1234 as we prepare for the jobs of the future and the present here as well. Hey, you can always find us online at WFSU.org. Check out this or past Perspectives at that address because we archive everything. We hoard all of our shows. It's terrible. It's very sad. Go to the website, click on radio, hit local programs, and then punch up Perspectives, and you can have the entire lineup of what we've done over the past several years. We try to have the most current program in that archive within like 24 hours of when it actually airs. We have Bill Hampsch, CEO of North Florida Women's Care, Katie Goodman, TCC Career Center Director of all kinds of things like internships and job placements and such, and Kimberly Moore, Vice President for Workforce Innovation and TCC To Work. And you also partner with other folks here. So, because I know I am going to hear from Curtis Richardson as soon as we get off the air and say, well, where was Lively in this? I'm gonna say, well, we got to talk about Lively because this is not a competitive situation where it's either or.
No, not at all. The whole idea of making sure that our community wins, that's first and foremost. And I'm sure Curtis would echo those sentiments when we look at it. So, absolutely, when we targeted and we had the conversations with healthcare, we knew that everybody had to be in the room at all levels. So when you hear me talking about whether it's Wakulla High School and their efforts in healthcare, their footprint, you know, they're doing the LPN certification there for their students, and then looking at Lively, what it has to contribute in Gadsden Technical Institute and Kaiser, yes, we would not be able to do it without that full menu. And that's what employers need to see. They need to know that there is no wrong door for education. So that's what this conversation is. And so, yeah, we value all the partnerships that make our community stronger, because when employers are strong, they hire. And we want folks, we want to maintain that lower unemployment rate.
And to piggyback a little bit on that, I was able to attend this morning the Chamber's Talent Forum, which had everybody in the room. Scott Maynard with the FSU Career Center was presenting about recruiting and retaining talent, but everybody was represented. Curtis Richardson was there, but Lively was in the room, TCC Career Center, FSU, Kaiser. So it was good to see us again just all together here for our local employers and for our students, our graduates, and this initiative of keeping talent here.
And the fact that, Bill, you say you're crying for IT folks right now. You mm-hmm. have a whole bunch more holes in your org chart that you need filled in. Mm-hmm. Is everybody kind of in the same boat when it comes to these things now?
We are. We get together and try to help each other out. You know, it's friendly within our healthcare community locally. And, you know, it's a struggle. We have to help each other out because it's a daunting task to run a medical practice today. You know, I've been in the medical field for over 20 years, and back in the 90s, that was a breeze compared to today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have interns and externs from different programs. Depending on the needs, we have administrative interns. Mm-hmm. We have clinical interns for nurses, like for LPNs, for MA programs. We have med students from FSU. So Lively, Kaiser, FSU, TCC, all the above. I mean, mm-hmm. It takes a village, as they say, and it takes us, you know, tapping into all those educational partners. And, you know, for us to work with Kim to be our bridge to the education programs, and I know she wears a name tag for one organization, but she represents, you know, the entire Tallahassee market for us. And, you know, I couldn't do it without her help. You know, I don't know how to connect the dots, you know, with the education people that are helping me with my workforce, and also to tell her what my needs are. Mm-hmm. You know, the education programs need to know from employers, from healthcare leaders, at least in my industry, what our needs are, because we change over time. I didn't need IT 20 years ago. Today, I have two, and I'm desperate for that third person to work for us.
Mm-hmm. This kind of turns a lot of preconceptions on its head, because conventional wisdom of, say, 20 years ago, was there are no jobs in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. You have to go to a Tampa or an Atlanta mm-hmm. or Chicago or someplace. That's where the jobs are. Tallahassee has nothing. And what you're telling me is that is not true anymore.
It's not true. There are a variety of industries and sectors that are hiring. As a matter of fact, we make it really, really easy. We maintain a site, hotoccupationsnow.com, where you can see every month the employers that have the most advertised jobs, the top 10 for our area. So we make it very easy there, as well as the training, the jobs, you know, what jobs. And oftentimes it's actually 5 out of 10 more recently were healthcare related. So Bill is absolutely on point, and that was followed by IT. So the whole convergence of the two, that's exactly what's happening. But yeah, opportunities are there. And I think I really love the connection that's happening even at the university level and then with the community colleges and the technical college, but about realizing that there has to be exposure throughout. A student's experience here cannot stay just within the grass or the greens there at their institutions. They need to know about these local employers and the huge footprints that they have and the many opportunities within. So these continued conversations, the fact that we're having it today with you, I mean, we can certainly educate local, but also with parents and others. I mean, there's just so many people that need to hear how this all works. And it involves collaboration and partnership.
Well, because the nature of the jobs have changed.
Yeah.
As you said, Bill, and Katie, the fact that you cannot just walk in off the street for a lot of these jobs. Yeah. You think, oh, well, this is just, you know, low tech. This is a service sector or whatever job, but the qualifications required are way above what they used to be.
Correct. And that's also why we need to continue to talk about the training that TCC offers, which is great that we have this new TCC to Work initiative, but also to continue to partner with our employers for things like internships, job shadowing, so these employers can let our students know what qualifications they're looking for. And this can also be a pipeline of talent into their companies and organizations.
You know, I was going to say, of the interns that we have, 7 externs, 80% of them end up converting into employment with us.
Wow. Yeah, we heard that this morning.
It's pretty high. Yeah. You know, the only reason why they probably wouldn't, you know, the 20% probably represents those that want a part-time position or they're not just ready yet to go into the workforce. So, yes. But it's the best source for us to get, you know, employees. And, you know, we get to test drive with them and for them to get to know us too. You know,
sure.
It's really a great opportunity for kids.
It's a two-way learning experience, and we just heard that this morning at the Chamber Talent Forum that between 70 and 80% of the students who participate in an internship then go full-time with that company or organization that they interned at, and that's a huge number.
The other component you identified, however, is the parental one, where the only decision used to be, is she going to FSU or Florida?
What's going to happen with that? Yeah, we are certainly mixing that bag up. And why parents need to know that is because literally over the next 10 years, the majority, I'm telling you, the top majority will require industry-recognized certifications. It certainly has nothing to do with or be against degrees, but that is 2 years or less, people. So your Johnny, Jill, Kim, Karen, all those fine folks who are great kids can pursue and obtain success with shorter-term efforts. Now, there will always be the opportunity, I call it lifelong learning, and that's what we're promoting. I mean, there is never going to be an opportunity as we go forward in our future that you will not be learning something. The challenge that we put in front of parents is that you don't have to choose either or. It's and. It really is about and, because think about if your student is, you know, working and going to school and they aspire to be a nurse. Wouldn't it be great if they could also work in the field while they were doing that and not having to choose, you know, fast food or whatever else? They began their pathway much sooner. Or if, you know, someone wants to aspire to own a business, you don't have to wait until, you know, 20 years out. You could literally pick up a vocational trade, whether it be HVAC or welding, which I will tell you the majority of our students that take advantage of the courses, they want to run their own business. Same with cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So we are of that time in our, I call it our life cycle, where the whole idea of picking one or the other is not the option. It's the and.
Mm-hmm. And you've got entrepreneurship, as you said, that layers into that as well. So
absolutely.
It's not just you are going to be someone else's employer. You may
you
be driving
will be the
that.
Employer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really an exciting thing. At the same time, though, we have a very rapidly changing workforce as far as not just the expectations of employers, but also the expectations of the employees.
Yes, correct.
And how do you kind of blend that into the whole mix?
I call it the truth serum because, again, so employers, I just talked to a statewide group, healthcare, and it was just the aha moment for them just last week where we looked at what their workforce needs. And I wanted to balance that with reality. I said, and then the employee has this expectation of a journey. You're like, what is a journey? I said, they really expect that you're going to paint this picture that, you know, that continues after the great, you know, cheerio moment in orientation, that it's going to extend throughout and that through your culture, you're creating multiple opportunities for them to engage. Well, if you don't, especially with the convergence and addition of millennials into the mix, then you will see great attrition. Actually, the trends point to now that even when millennials start, that they're looking at the next year. They've made that determination within the first 30 days where they're going to hang on with you.
And
so,
Kim, I think you told me that healthcare is the second highest turnover sector, second to hospitality.
Yes. Yeah, hospitality and retail, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. And if you throw in, we talk about all these variables. The other one where healthcare, because Bill is here, we get to talk about that, where soft skills, we've talked about that before, you all know it. Well, it has the largest gap there of health. When you look at healthcare, where employers are saying that that's the largest gap when they hire individuals, that it's the soft skills, reliability, dependability, you know, conflict resolution, will you do all those things? So it's not just the skills piece, it's also the soft, and Bill could probably speak to that.
Yeah, you know, one of my pain points, I've got several, you know, that's why my hair is gray, but, you know, the younger generational workforce is, you know, on their phones. You know, we didn't have Facebook and smart devices 20 plus years ago, and to you know, police that basically is a constant management struggle that we deal with the generation that we have coming out of the the school systems. So.
And you got to think, too, you know, not only are millennials in the workforce, of course, but now Gen Z is in college and entering the workforce as well. And they're even more ingrained in their phones. And Kim is absolutely right. NACE is the National Association of Colleges and Employers. And every year they survey thousands and thousands of employers, and they ask them what they're looking for in candidates to work for their organization. And consistently for the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the top 8 out of 10 skills have been soft skills, critical thinking, communication, team building, teamwork, things like that. So we try to let our students know not only do you need to have the technical training, of course, but you also have to have those soft skills. They are just as important these days.
Oh, no. A liberal education.
I know. Really? I tell you, who would have thought? But yes.
But you combine the two, and you may have the perfect package.
You got a rock star.
Absolutely.
You got a rock star.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have another incident that is coming up, talking about transitioning workforce, and someone mentioned retail. And we see now the, if not destruction of brick-and-mortar retail, at least a major transition. But, Bill, you're not going to be able to go onto Amazon.com and get your health care the way that you would order, say, a new widget for the kitchen.
Thank goodness for that. Job security.
Yeah.
but still using that technology that you talked about, we're going to have folks who are savvy to be able to do that because – I don't see too many medical personnel running around your joint with clipboards anymore. They have tablets.
They do. And, you know, I brand myself as a nerd with personality because I just love technology. But and we are pretty intense with our technology, but it's healthcare is still a human-dense kind of industry. And, you know, to have individuals, you know, in our office are – it's still a dire need, you know, to do our jobs. And we have replaced some tasks, you know, with technology, which has been great. But we're trying to improve the health of women and babies in our organization. And we cannot do that without humans, with people.
Yeah, because I see the news releases that come flying out of TMH and Cap Regional about, hey, we have just installed new robotic surgical technology in one or more suites for certain kinds of surgeries. But it's not just you and the robot. When you go under the knife, you have to have all the support personnel and the other ancillary services provided by the healthcare facility to make this whole thing work.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see in our lifetime a robot delivering a baby.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. But
as a mom with a 2- and a 4-year-old, I don't think I would want a robot delivering my babies. So
I did see it in Star Wars 5, though. Remember, this is the one where Anakin became Darth Vader and Luke was born, and there was a robotic nurse there to do the delivery. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
But that was in a galaxy far, far away.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
A long time ago. So, yeah, we're not quite there yet.
Right.
The other perception, though, the fact that so many, and it's more the parents, I think, than the students right now who perceive certain of these jobs as less than desirable, or they're going to be working in a grody, grimy environment, and it's any stupid person can do this kind of stuff, where the trades are now very technical. There's a lot of demand, even as you said, Kim, for welding. It has become incredibly complex.
Complex, driven by technology. So the whole idea, even if you were to visit our manufacturing center that mirrors the work environment that our students will be exposed to, you'll see it's highly automated. So even when you're thinking about an HVAC student, which, 100% placement rate out of that program since it started and we stood it up in Gadsden County, the fact that I think one of our students said it best, he said, I don't, you know, people may think that I'm climbing under or going under houses and climbing all these different places to do the work that I have to do. He said, all I have to do is pull out my iPad, and that's how I handle HVAC. Because then you think about the building automation specialists and all the different bigger buildings that we have here. So the need to educate parents. More recently, I guess 2 to 3 weeks ago, we did our Ladies Night Out event where we exposed young girls, moms, dads brought their daughters to these non-traditional trades and expressed to them that, you know what, these are fields that are careers and that certainly will put you on a pathway for a future, whether you would like to start your own business or be a part of growing a business. That they just, you know, I had them raise their hands. I said, how many of you are even aware of these or were? None of them. But I'll tell you, this number of girls that walked out and that said that they now know what they want to do, that range from truck driving to welding to cybersecurity, the likes, was amazing. Everybody had a path. So I really do believe that exposure and education is the most critical place and role that we can play.
The times, they are changing. The last time I had a battery installed in my personal vehicle, I went to the shop. The person at the counter who took the order was a young lady.
Yeah.
And the tech who did the install was a young lady.
Women are great in these careers.
Attention to detail. Closing the gap is what you know, what we endeavor to do with that.
And they're good listeners, too.
Yeah. Hardworking, attention to detail. No offense, Bill, but.
Bill says he loves it. That's how he's growing his business.
I work with 85 women.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm very supportive.
You know.
Absolutely.
But that also means that in the healthcare thing, in the support services, which were predominantly female for so many years, you would say nurse, that was synonymous with female. That is not the case anymore.
No, other than myself or the physicians, we did not have males in our organization until like the last maybe 8 years ago. Now I have several that, besides IT, that also are scheduling appointments. You know, they might be checking in a patient. So it's a different, you know, for guys too. You know, identity is, you know, whatever you make of yourself and what you want. And, you know, for our staff, we have a mixed bag of clinical people, from medical assistants to LPNs to RNs. So depending on the program, you know, it's whatever out there for you.
New paths and careers. That's what we're talking about here on this edition of Perspectives. Love to hear from you, too. 850-414-1234. Did you start off academically and maybe make the transition to something else? Give us a call. I'd love to hear your story. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives, and we are chatting today with Bill Hampsch, CEO of North Florida Women's Care, Katie Goodman from TCC Career Center, and Kimberly Moore, VP for Workforce Innovation and TCC2 Work, about the new directions, new old directions, I guess, in in career paths. And we also have an email address, perspectives@wfsu.org, talking about high tech. Man, we are just on top of it. That's what Cheryl interfaced with, and she wanted to know the whole question of labor shortages in particular areas and sectors. Doesn't that get solved by the good old-fashioned increasing wages, and you bring more people into the stream, and then everybody's happy, more workers for employees or employers, and more money for the employees and all that thing? Kim?
It's a couple of things that I think about with this. I look at the great work with our healthcare employers, and Bill, again, leading that effort where they took it upon themselves. They wanted to make sure that they were paying at the right rate to keep and, you know, not only attract but to retain top talent. So they invested in a study that looked at just that and also their benefits. So they are taking a lead role in that. But when you look at Cheryl's question on that, so yeah, you could, you know, I always tell employers, money, throwing money at it will never be the full solution to this workforce shortage. Certainly, if a business is expanding, you want to make sure that there's opportunity for promotion. So people do see that wage increase there, but it's also in creating jobs. We have to realize that for our local area, 70 plus percent of them are employers that have 10 or few or fewer employees. So realizing, again, that dollars couldn't be the driver for all of that, otherwise they would no longer be in business. So I think it's a fine balance. The other part of that is that with education and with all of our partners, looking at labor market data, we want to make sure that when we are training or standing up a program, which I shared with you all, the listeners, could be very expensive, that we're taking into account whether this is a short-term need or a long-term need where it's likely going to involve all of us. If it's a short-term need and we have partners, education partners who are already in that space, whether it be Lively, whether it be Kaiser or Gadsden Tech, we're going to choose, TCC is going to choose to not interrupt and get in that space because the need is being met. So we're all having to be very mindful of how we manage that.
Mm-hmm. But what we do have, at least anecdotally, some idea of how the supply and demand equation is working in some areas. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl, this is just from a good buddy of mine I used to work with. He was a master technician here in the Tallahassee area and only recently retired. And he was telling me that in some instances now there are signing bonuses attached mm-hmm. to the hiring of automotive techs here in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. It's usually the bigger guns, the dealerships that have a little bit more cash flow that can do this thing. But I have heard of five-figure signing bonuses where one wow. dealership will go after a really well-qualified tech at another shop and lure them away. They steal from each other like crazy, and they throw money at these people. You can make nearly a six-figure salary if you are a really good auto tech in this town.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I think I need to go back to school for that.
Right. We can help you in one of those TCC to work programs. Yeah.
There we go. Yes, we have the training. Yeah. We have the technology. Katie, you'll be good to go.
Yes.
But that does bring up a good question, because one thing that has lagged in this rip-roaring economy that we hear so much about
sure.
is it's still wages, compensation is lagging. But the realization, too, that it isn't just the amount of money, that it has to be other factors as well.
I will tell you, having worked with so many different industries, oftentimes that is not the top reason why a person chooses to leave an organization.
Right.
It really isn't. It's not about the salary. It's about the other connecting pieces that they believe, whether it be that they are valued, whether there's an opportunity to learn more and grow.
Work environment.
Those are the triggers that usually make that decision one way or the other, and Bill can speak to that as well.
Yeah, I meet with every new hire that comes on board with us. And I always ask them, you know, where they came from and why they decided to leave that organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, at least my understanding is it's the culture where they come from.
Yep.
They may not have that opportunity at the other place, or it's their coworkers or whatever the environment is mm-hmm. that they're bailing out at that organization that has invested so much in them. And we have to do our job as employers to make sure that we survey our employees to make mm-hmm. sure that we are meeting the needs of the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're going to hop 6 months down the road to yeah. somewhere else that will give them that.
Yeah, given that change in the workforce, you'd mentioned it, Katie, the mm-hmm. the millennial and the Z generation now, which is, hey, you know, 6 to 8 months, and if I am not perfectly happy and fulfilled, I am out of here. Yep. It puts the onus more on employers to say, what are we doing as far as our workforce environment to make sure that we retain the very best workers?
Correct. And surprisingly, that's what a lot of our students are telling us lately, especially the millennials and the Gen Zers, that they're not really asking about the wages and, oh, how much can I make as a nurse? You know, they really are concerned about the work environment and things like professional development, and even they ask about benefits. So I think that employers, you know, can look at that and possibly attract and retain talent. Plus, it's all relative. You know, we tell our graduates, while you may make $10,000 more a year down in Tampa, the cost of living is more. So, you know, we try to give them kind of the big picture.
Yeah, and it's going to take you at least 45 minutes to get to work, even
exactly.
if it's across the street.
And $40 in gas.
You know, we took a very active position to do more recognition for our employees. You know, just little
right.
dollars here and there that,
yep.
you know, are more custom to that individual, you know, perks, things that they like, whether it's going to the movies mm-hmm. or, you know, certain stores, just give them little gift certificates for, you know, recognizing their exceptional efforts
Wonderful.
That they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really is more powerful than a once a year Christmas bonus or a bonus at their annual increase. Mm-hmm.
This raises the bar for all employers, though, doesn't it? When you have organizations like yours, Bill, that do that, and the next guy says, well, geez, you know, I'm shedding people like crazy. Mm-hmm. I better, you know, do something to try to retain these folks.
No, because I want them at my office.
So employer awareness, it is absolutely critical. Again, talking about the statewide association. I had a room full of CEOs trying to figure out about how do we close the gap with that healthcare shortage. And I asked them, I said, do you know what your employee journey is when they onboard? Have you left all of that to your HR professional? They're like, yeah. I said, when was the last time you reviewed your position description to make sure that it was aligned with and it talked about? And there was silence. And what I can appreciate about that is that they are seeking to gain that education and awareness because, you know, yeah, it's been pressed upon them right now. But really, having an awareness of what it is and starting with the what's in it for that employee and then backing into it for what's in it for the employer, it is absolutely the position and stance to take in this market.
Yeah, and that is so different from the old paradigm.
It's an employer's market. You get your paycheck, that's enough, right?
Do as I say,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah,
we've all had bosses like that, and they're kind of obsolete and at least endangered species now.
Exactly. Times have changed.
Yeah, which is a good thing for everybody, but it does get back to Cheryl's thing. Ultimately, you do have the compensation levels that go up because of the competition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's true.
Yeah.
And you know, the overhead, you know, is an ever-growing problem for us. And from a revenue standpoint, I have to be very creative to find ways to either cut other costs or increase revenue to maintain our bottom line. And it's a struggle every day. That's one of the things that keep me up at night. You know, how can I maintain? Yeah. You know, I support over 100 families, you know, with employees in my office. And, you know, I see a lot of the healthcare industry transforming to the small onesie and twosie physician offices are dying. They're disappearing and they're getting acquired by the hospitals or they're moving into mega groups or merging with other organizations in town because they just can't survive with today's climate.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing across the board in so many industries right now is the consolidation and everything else. Although, again, I will give you guys a little preview here. Later on today, I'll be talking to the new general manager of Tallahassee's homegrown railroad. You thought it was CSX. It isn't anymore. As of June 3rd, there was a shift in ownership of the line between essentially Jacksonville and Pensacola with a little spur that goes up towards Attapulgus and Bainbridge. There is now a hometown corporation called Florida Gulf and Atlantic. So I believe Christina Paredes told me that they had nearly 40 employees that they were trying to hire.
Great.
Wow.
And we'll find out from the general manager if they were able to fulfill that. But that's a local job.
There you go.
Right here. Always wanted to drive a locomotive.
Home grown, yeah.
I think I'll apply while I'm down there this afternoon. But that may be something that you'll have to do, too, here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you think about all the careers that one will enjoy. So that goes along with it. You know, it's not the 30-year commitment that you're seeing. So there'll be lots of different opportunities that folks take advantage of.
Are there also opportunities, though, back to the employer thing here, Kimberly, if you because the old paradigm, again, was to bring in folks. We do our in-house training, and you get up on the way that we do things here, and then you take over with a full-time position. Those apprenticeships now are hot again.
They're hot again, yeah. As a matter of fact, we'll be announcing over the next couple of weeks our formal partnerships with industry. And the great thing about apprenticeships is that industry leads it. Industry says this is what we need, and they do it in partnership with education. So we'll be making that announcement. There's a total of five that we will be sharing with this community, and that industry's taking a lead in training their workforce. So, yeah. The things of the past are no longer the past. I guess it's just like your, you know, well, not you with your old dress, but my old dress. Yeah, old dress, you know, 10 years ago, now it's fashionable again. So it's the same thing when you think about what's happening in our workforce.
And on the state level, too. Governor DeSantis just the other week had a statewide group of folks together to talk apprenticeships and career development through the same things we're talking about.
Multiple pathways to success.
There you go. Well, folks who want to find out more, especially parents who are thinking, you know, if my son, daughter decides that I really don't want to pursue a degree in anthropology.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At one of the major universities, and I may be more inclined to try something else. Are there other resources out there parents can look at and say, wow, I didn't realize that this was available or that this is a possibility for them?
Absolutely. Lots of resources, both at our educational institutions, but I'll even give a shout out to Career Source Capital Region. Mm-hmm. They have the Career Pathways Council, and underneath that council, it includes all the educational partners that I've mentioned, inclusive of Florida State and FAMU. And our goal, if you go to the website, is to make sure that parents, economic development, employers, and others know that, you know, here are your options laid out. And we do it in such a way that you look at wages too, because that's a big mm-hmm. thing. Parents want to know that their kids are going to be able to take care of themselves, be self-sufficient, and it lays that out for them as well as the length of time that it takes to do it.
The TCC Career Center has a program called Career Coach, and it gives similar information. It lays out to the student and the parent, you know, exactly what the occupation is, even what a typical day looks like, and definitely the wages, but also a good thing, it shows the projected outlook. So in 5 to 10 years, what does the outlook look like for welders, for truck drivers? So it's definitely a great resource. It's free and it's on our website. It's called Career Coach.
Okay. And what do you got as far as the Women's Center or the healthcare industry in this area in general, Bill?
We are happy to get anyone that's interested, have a passion for women's health. You know, we have really, it's a mecca for opportunity for academics to learn more about our world that we live in. For education, you know, from clerical to clinical, is all the above. And, you know, we have open positions right now. They can go to our website at nflwc.com, or they can get to our Facebook page as well.
And this guy needs immediate help with IT.
Okay,
if I do, please.
Desperation. And talk about a field that is changing. Oh, my gosh, what? Every 18 months now, we are essentially doubling the amount of information that is out there and has to be digested.
Everything's in the cloud.
And
yeah.
Ooh, my gosh, that is crazy. So, but we have those sorts of things available as well. There are additionally, I think, online resources, not to take away from any of the institutional mm-hmm. kinds of things that we have here in this area. But I mean, the internet is just a treasure trove of possibilities.
Well, and there's a host of programs that tell people we have a full menu of online courses for those folks that just want to do grab and go while they're at home in the comfort of their, you know, with their pajamas. Go ahead and get that, you know, just what you need right now type of training. I will tell you that even with the face-to-face training, we're changing our delivery there. Our cybersecurity program now will be half face-to-face and half online, recognizing that folks are likely already in jobs and they're looking for either that career change or that promotion. So making it very flexible to get the information and education that allows them to get that promotion or whatever.
On top of everything, training ongoing mm-hmm. is something that now has to be done at just
lifelong
about
learning.
All. It,
yeah.
It, yeah, you don't just get it and you got your certificate and that's all
and
she
that's
wrote.
That's it. No. It's comma now. Mm-hmm.
And I think Kim brings up a good point. You know, not only do employers need to be flexible, but we do too as educational institutions. You know, it is kind of going to online. People want to work and get additional training. So, you know, we have to change with the times too, of course.
And we even deliver training on site with employers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother aspect mm-hmm. of it, that when you want something that's customized to just your workforce, we can deliver that at your location. So you're not even leaving it, or even provide you another location to host it at. Again, our footprint is not just within the Tri-County area. We provided employer support throughout the state of Florida.
Which circles us back to where we began with that big grant from Commerce the other week. You guys are going to have to expand your facilities out there too, right?
We do, yeah. A whole 6,000 square feet that we will be able to expand that manufacturing center and make sure that our state-of-the-art welding lab will be one of those things that are complementing it. But we are priding ourselves in what we've been able to do in partnering with industry as well as our national now partner, as well as at the state and local level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, from personal experience, I can tell you that drawing one of those beautiful beads when you're doing a welding project is one of the, that is one of the toughest things I ever tried to do, and I could never master it.
Well, you can try even more. You know, we have simulators over there, so you don't even have to mess up any of my materials. Awesome. I'll let you
I don't have to set the building on fire. This is awesome. Okay. Guys, it has been a great discussion, and this is, again, something that we will have to revisit on a regular basis here because it's something that is a rapidly moving target here, guys.
That it is.
So to you, Katie Goodman, TCC Career Center Director for Internships, Job Placement, Shadowing, and just general good stuff, thanks for coming back on Perspectives. It's been a delight to see you again. We hope
Thank
to see you again soon.
You too. Thank you.
Bill Hamsch, a delight having you on today, sir. And as you continue to work with North Florida Women's Care, we hope you find your IT folks there and the other people that you need to keep you guys cranking as one of the largest segments in the local industrial sector here.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
And Kimberly Moore, as always, in your role as Vice President for Workforce Innovation and TCC to Work. We'll stay in touch. And the
Absolutely.
Next time we got something cooking, let's get back together
and
talk about
you.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to all of our listeners here on Perspectives. We hope you can join us again next week. More expert opinion and, of course, your input as well. I'm Tom Flanagan, and our big thank to Evan Rossi and also Lydell Rawls, who've been helping us there behind the glass. We'll catch you next week right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.